Welcome back to the second episode with Sabir, where we unpack the essentials of product positioning and brand building. You've heard the what and why, but now it's time for the how. Forget about playing catch up with your competitors. Sabir is here to show us that the secret sauce to success lies in telling our unique story. We're looking at what sets our product apart and how we can harness that not just to compete, but to set a new standard in the market. So let's continue our journey into the art of differentiation and discover the path to a brand identity that resonates with authenticity and purpose. Ready to find out how to make your product the hero in your niche? Stay tuned. Welcome to the Ecom Pulse, your heartbeat to the world of e-commerce. I'm your host, Eitan Kotter. Join us as we meet with industry leaders, marketing experts, and the innovative minds behind the tech that is shaping the e-commerce future. So plug in, gear up, and get ready for a pulse-pounding journey into the heart of e-commerce. So what's next?
So, which brings me to product positioning and brand building, right?
Yeah.
You told your story about the brand and you, about who you are and why did you come up with the product and your existence through storytelling. What is the positioning of your product specifically? Don't say, oh, my competition always talks about their flavor profile. Okay, that's your competition. How do you know that competition got it right? Maybe, like I said earlier in part of the podcast, right? Maybe your competition is going to go bankrupt because of bad decisions. What makes you think that your competition is intelligent? It's possible the guy who came up with that idea or the gal that came up with that idea probably got fired for it because it was such a bad idea, right?
No, you know what?
And now you are following in their footsteps and you're going to actually waste your money and time.
Even if it's working for them and it's a great success, it doesn't mean it's going to work for you, right? It's totally different. Different case.
Yeah, maybe they invested as a brand over 15 years to tell that story.
Exactly.
And it's you're like getting them, into the game now.
Now, yes.
You don't have 15 years. And you think that, oh, if I do the same thing, then what are you going to do as a brand? Price.
Yeah.
You're going to say a product is cheaper with more features. That's what you're going to do strategically, right?
Yes.
If you're thinking at that far, right? We have 30 features. Our competition has 25 features. They sell it for $50. We sell it for $45. You get more features for less money. Buy from us.
Who cares?
You're trying to make up for the 15 years by eroding your margin.
Yes. Yes. Right?
And it also comes with brand building. I've seen this time and time again. Same exact product, two different brands, two different journeys, right? Same exact product. In this one, the product positioning was one thing. In the other one, it was completely a different thing, right? Because the ethos of the brand was built into each one of them. And the brand ethos for one brand was very different than the other one. And if you're true to your brand and you're authentic with your brand and you build that product positioning correctly, maybe you're going after two different audiences if you look at two different brands.
Yeah.
And if you're smart about it, then you're not going to be part of the pack that goes this way, right? Everybody is the same audience. Then you run into this trouble of pricing to the bottom, right?
Yeah. The race to the bottom. The race to the bottom, right?
Yep. Instead, if you are completely addressing a different market and by telling your story more effectively, what makes you great, you can probably even price yourself even higher and get premium price for that. Because your positioning is different.
Yes.
For that brand and for that product.
I mean, product positioning is much more than pricing, right? It's what exactly it includes.
Yeah, in the from a practical sense, right? And I go take a deeper dive in the live workshop, right? It has to do with, at a minimum, it has to do with your imagery, right? Your product images.
Mm-hmm.
Are you optimizing it because everybody gives you the front view, the side view, and the back view, and the stitching, that's what every fashion company is doing, and that's what you should do? No. Think of it from a consumer's perspective. What is their question in their heads, right? And being an e-com, Eitan, you know, consumers go through 1,000 reasons not to buy from you.
Yes.
Not to buy. You know why? Because most Shopify stores' conversion rate is less than 1%. For every 100 people, you bring in, 99 of them decide not to buy from you. In fact, 65 of them, which if you take on average, good case scenario, 65 of them will ignore you for the first 1.7 seconds. They'll leave. The other 35 that stay on, they have many reasons, 99% reasons, not to buy from you. Only 1% buys if you don't optimize, if you don't optimize this experience.
Okay.
Right?
So
for them.
So you mentioned like product imagery and doing the same like everyone else are doing. So what are your thoughts on all the immersive commerce tools like, you know, virtual experiences, AR experiences, I mean, virtual try-ons? What do you think? Is it a real value or is it like a promise?
So here's the thing. I hope that all of us went to college, right? Sure. Before you could take biology 102, you had to take biology 101, right? What happened if you took biology 102?
Yeah.
Or biology 201? You would fail. 100%. 100%. Yeah. Right? So most of the Shopify sites, when it comes to the fundamentals that they need to get right? They don't work on those things too, because there's a lot of hidden conversion rate. Like the first advice I gave you and a strategy I gave you, that was a 30% uplift, right? My goal was 1% uplift. I gave you 30% uplift on that one, right? When it comes to optimizing your product landing page, right? There is an art and science to it. And also there's mathematics to it also, right? You have to think about like at least 7 to 9 images. You have heard that before. You should have 7 to 9 images. The first one should be the front view of your product. Okay, what is image number 2 through 9? You have to be very intelligent about like, what should I put in? It cannot be cookie cutter. A lot of companies that have a huge product portfolio, they set up a rule in their photo studio to say, oh, take the front, take the back, take the side, take the close up to do this, do that. That's 9 images. Boom. Sabir said 9 images. We have 9 images. Mm-hmm. No, it's the quality of images, right? You said that you have 5 kids. I'm sure you spend equal amount of time with each one of them, right? Not that the first image is perfect and the first kid is, you're spending most 90% of your time. And what happens to kid number 2 through 5?
Yeah.
You spend that 10% with all of them. You know, that's not fair, right? The same applies to your product images, right? When it comes to product images, image by image, even the positioning of your images for the first one, the second one, does it actually flow logically from a customer journey perspective, right? Is it making it very easy as I'm going through that carousel? I'm not talking about the technical part of it. I'm talking about storytelling from image to image, right? Mm-hmm. Does it take me through that? And when do you introduce your product video to be?
Exactly. That was my next question.
This is
the video.
This is above the fold right now. I'm not looking down yet. Because 66% of your engagement is going to happen above the fold. And above the fold on desktop means this much. And on your mobile, which 60 to 80% of your revenue for your business, most likely depending on your product category, comes from mobile.
Yeah.
So you're building for mobile devices. And depending on the market that you're in the US, it would be Apple iPhone. And it's going to be the Safari browser. That's it. You're building your entire business for that browser, or for that device. That's it. If your market is the US, and for most brands, it is the US market, right?
Yes.
But if you're in the UK, look at the device penetration. And if it says Samsung Galaxy has 70% of the market, you're building it for Chrome, Samsung Galaxy device. Go buy one and make sure that you put it on 4G LTE, not on your Wi-Fi, to make sure that the pages appear within 2 seconds. And that's how you, and the engagement for you to add to cart should be above the fold, because engagement is 66% is before you even swipe up. 66% of it is going to happen there. Mm-hmm. And if you put the button a little bit below it, your conversion rate is going to tank. Because of it.
Sure. So product positioning is also related to the product description, metadata information.
All of the above. And your positioning of how you position that product and who are you attracting specifically.
Yeah. Clear.
So most of our clients, when they implement the first 4 dimensions, they see a sizable increase. It takes about 4 to 6 weeks. If you are at it every day, right? 4 to 6 weeks to implement these 4 dimensions. And this is where they see anywhere from 50 to 75% increase in their revenue.
Yeah. Okay. What else? Let's move on.
Number five.
Number five.
User experience. So your customer, now we are tackling our customers. We got our story right. We got our price right. We optimized the site, right? Who are we selling to, right? And in so many Shopify sellers don't know who they're selling to. This is one of the key reasons why when you go and use Advantage Plus or Performance Max on Google, that typically you don't know and you're telling Facebook or Google, you figure it out. Mm-hmm. I have no idea who to sell this to.
Yeah.
But why are you in that business? Like, if you don't know your customer, who are you building it for? Is it male or female? Are they 25 to 35 or are they 50 plus? Right? Are they college graduated or not? That question means that if they're not college graduated, your product descriptions better be at sixth grade level when you're writing your product descriptions and mm-hmm. brand positioning and call to action and everything, right? And if they're college educated, and that's the customers you have because you sell amazing briefcases and pens and fountain pens and stuff like that. Okay, write it very elegantly at a 12th grade level or college level English, right?
Yeah.
Or language. So you have to know who is your customer. And when they show up, are you recognizing them? That you're recognizing and acknowledging who they are. If you're male, go here. If you're female, go here. They will click on that, right? If you are an office worker versus a homemaker versus an athlete, they'll click on the athlete if they're an athlete, right? Mm-hmm. Who is your customer? And when they go through that experience, are you truly giving them a unique experience from that perspective? And you say, well, Shopify doesn't give me a pat. No, you can do amazing things with Shopify. For the least, you could actually, for every product that, if it's for three different people, show all three people and say how it's relevant to all those three people specifically, right? And give them that journey. So that's at the product level when you're talking about the customer dimension. But what about the journey and the life cycle of a customer? That's a different part of sub-dimension of customer.
Yeah.
Are they a prospect? Are they a one-time buyer? I actually call one-time buyers one-hit wonders. So if you remember a couple of years ago, Macarena, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Macarena, yeah. Right? Macarena was a one-hit wonder. There are customers that you acquired, and on Shopify specifically, if you go into Shopify admin, click on customers, click on segments, create segment, num orders equal to zero. I mean, one. For prospects, you would do zero. For yeah. one-hit wonders, you do one. And if you see the segments, and if it shows you it's a gigantic number, you have a transactional business. It doesn't matter if you're selling a product that you could replenish, right? The way that means that you have a very, you have not set up any kind of retargeting that customer for their life cycle to bring them back to buy a second time. Or what you have done, you have played the price game and you ran a Facebook ad or Google ad. You brought those people in. Those people have no intention of coming back. Right.
Yeah.
So even though you should not even count them as customers, because that's just a one-time purchase, you did not really get them to buy a second time from you. And the definition of customers should start with two transactions or more. And if it's one transaction, that's a one-hit wonder.
Yeah.
And you have to have proper strategy to make them buy a second time.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to two-time buyers, make them buy a third time. But you have to be very intentional about this and recognize them through loyalty program, through VIP programs and stuff like that. If your VIP that keeps on buying from you every month and they're giving you $100 and you keep on treating them the same way as a prospect, let's say, or one or somebody who has never bought or bought one time, you're not being fair to them. Like if they're a VIP, they bought, let's say you define VIP as they bought in their lifetime more than 15 times, right? When the next order comes in, surprise them. If you say standard shipping is 3 to 5 business days, surprise them. Don't tell them. Mm-hmm. Surprise them by giving them a gift inside the box when you're packing their order and make it a next day shipping. But Sabir, it costs $30 for me to ship that. Usually it costs me $7. You know what? $30 in an investment into that VIP to put a smile on their face for them to keep on coming back to you.
Amazing retention strategy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sabir, what are your thoughts on customer journeys? I mean, it's really needs to be a mature brand to analyze behaviors across the website, you know, hot maps, and didn't, you know, move on any change that customer wants to do, but has a solid thinking about how customer journeys should look like. What are the tips that you can provide to reach that level of maturity in terms of understanding customer journeys and what needs to be done on a website?
You know, there's a song that says it's going to take time.
Yeah, right? I know. That's
a whole lot of precious time to do it right. I don't know if you know that song.
I know. Biology 2.0, you cannot do that.
My mind set on you. That's the song, right?
Yes,
so here's the thing. It does take time, and it's doing all the right things. That's what you need to do, right? When it comes to the customer journeys, obviously, if you're starting out, if you're in that first $0 to $500,000 per year revenue, because that's your seed phase, you're just starting out, right? You have not even sprouted yet. That's why my program with $500,000 or above for the Rapid 2X Accelerator program, we have that hurdle of $500,000. Yeah. Now these businesses are starting to sprout, you know, and then we go all the way up to $25 million in that program. It's not a problem, right? And we work with even bigger brands. We have worked with $100 million brands too. But when you're in that initial phase, it is going to take time. It is going to take for you to build. But from day zero, when you have zero traffic to your site, right? Zero. If you have set up proper flows and proper strategies, when these things happen, you are actually ahead of a lot of brands that are not doing it at all. And they have been in business for 10 years.
Yeah.
Right. And now what they're doing is because you're thinking, Eitan, like, okay, you know what? This business has been around for 10 years. They have 10 years of data, right? You know, there is some bad thing in customer lifecycle. It's called customer attrition. That means that customers have said goodbye to you.
Yes.
They hate your brand now. They don't use your product anymore. Or in some brands that I've run, they're literally dead. They're 6 feet under. They're dead, you know? Yeah. They're dead, died, you know? You can pray for them, right? They're gone.
Yeah.
Right? But they're no longer buying. So there is that attrition also. So whether you're a 10-year brand, if you're not doing it, you have lost customers and you were not aware of it, right? And then you keep on seeing that over time, what happens to their KPIs, even in that 10-year-old brand? Their KPIs across the board, email KPIs, Facebook KPIs, everything that they look at keeps on tanking. They go like, Yahoo hates me. Gmail hits me. My email is not getting through. I don't know why they think I'm a spammer. No, you're sending so many emails out to people who are dead or they don't care for your message, right? Yeah. So, and you're expecting them to do something. They're not going to do anything with you. Mm-hmm. But being smart about these life journeys and identifying where's the cutoff point where you consider them now strangers. They're not your customers anymore. For some brands, it means 6 months. Some brands, it means 18 months. Some brands, it might mean 3 years, right? Depending on the product category that they're in, right? Every category is different. You have to have a cutoff point. And after that, you can treat them like prospects. But, you know, because if you cannot segment them correctly, there are bigger mistakes you're making by bringing them. You go like, oh, Facebook has customer list import. I'm going to bring that. You're bringing a lot of bad data.
Yeah.
Right? You're not looking at your core, like most recent 90-day customers or 180-day customers. And Facebook requires a modeling, right? If you give it a great model of your customers, it will model lookalike audiences. That would be fabulous, above 1,000 matchbacks, right? At least, right? If you can do that. You can do the same thing on Google for retargeting to get back at them. For now, Google Ads, as of this recording, Google Ads has turned off their similar audiences. That was similar to lookalike audiences, right? Yeah. They have turned it off, but they're working on bringing on something more intelligent. My guess is it's going to be more Gemini-based, AI-based audience segmentation, yes, because of their learnings from Performance Max. So I would still use the customer list for retargeting on those platforms. But since the feature does not exist on Google, wait for it. They are working on something very interesting. I think it's going to come out. But Facebook has lookalike audiences. But if you give it stale customers and garbage customers, even in that list, you're not going to get good lookalike audiences.
Yeah, it's
and what I encourage is you look at your VIPs first. See if you could use that as your base. That would be better because that represents the best model for your customers. That could mean more than 3 transactions with you, possibly in an 18-month period. That's a better file to import into Facebook ads rather than go for, export everything out of because that's your customer list from Shopify.
Yes.
And now your lookalike audiences are not working on Facebook.
So that's like garbage in, garbage out, right?
Yep. Truly, that's very true. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Number six. Number six is, I think, very near and dear to your heart. It's tech, because it's Shopify, right? So it has to do with tech. And tech, even with Shopify, let's keep it very focused on Shopify. Shopify is an incredible platform, right? For you to go from concept to launch, you could do it over a weekend. One weekend. You can start Friday afternoon and Sunday night, you could launch your business, right? Amazing platform. If you know what you're doing, it's a fabulous platform. But most Shopify people, and the reason, let me go through the reasons first, and then I'm going to give you some advice related to that. Most Shopify businesses that I see, unfortunately, what they do is when they're building up, either they got a developer to do it, or they did it themselves, or they gave it to their nephew who is studying in their second year of computer science or something like that, right? There's always a nephew involved somehow, right? they gave it to that person, and then the person either knew what they were doing or they didn't know. They have a site up, and this is also points to the problems with performance optimization dimension also. So these two are linked. When you have a platform, Shopify is a great platform. It allows you to go time to market very fast. If I want you to make a change, you can make a change very quickly, which is an amazing ability to do, right? Yeah. But if you compare that to a WooCommerce or Magento, that means that you may need to write code, and that code may not be perfect, right? Because it's not been tested. You're writing it for the first time.
Yeah.
Your developer told you from Fiverr that it's going to take you 2 weeks to do that, and I don't know, $500 or something like that, right? That's a typical journey, right? With those platforms, right? But with Shopify specifically, I also see that because of lack of knowledge of how to actually effectively use Shopify, most of the Shopify installations that I see have 25 to 30 on average apps installed.
At least, yeah.
Right? I mean, you're shaking your head.
Sure.
That's from your experience too, you see that, right? 25 to 30 means there are at least 25 to 30 JavaScript libraries that are getting loaded up every time any page from your site is getting loaded, right? And the bigger mistake of this is, by the way, after they go through the cleanup, through this dimension, that 25 to 30 goes down to 7 or 8, maybe. Mm-hmm. Some of them even go down all the way down to like 3 or 4, right? And the other mistake part of it is, but we are using these apps. Yeah, John, you have 5 live chat apps. Which one are you using? Yeah. It's 5 of them. You're using one. And when I went to your site, you didn't even have it turned on. Oh yeah, we had these agency we had hired. There's always a story, like, you know, the dimension of marketing. So now they're giving me their story why there are 5 live chats. I'm not interested in the story of the live chats. I want to know if you're using it or not. You could use, and live chat, by the way, on the site does improve conversion rate. That's guaranteed. It's going to do that, right? Mm-hmm. But what is your reason for doing it? And why do you have 5 of them? What's your reason for 5? And worse, this 25 to 30, 4 or 5 of them are free. The other 20 are paid. Shopify billing is charging them ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching every single month. They go like, wow, Shopify is expensive. No, you installed it. You forgot to uninstall it. So in the performance, when we do the tech stack, and we look at the tech stack, especially in case of Shopify, we look at it and do you really need it? If the answer is yes, is there a better version of that same functionality that you can get that is not going to have a negative impact on performance optimization, dimension one? Yeah. That's critical of tech. And number two, can, when you do things, can it do it quickly for you? like configuration, setup, customization, whatever it is. Can you do it very quickly? If the answer is yes, then you have the right app. And if it doesn't negatively impact, because some apps actually negatively impact, the number one notorious one, anything that does a pop-up. Mm-hmm. Any app that does pop-ups, and Shopify sellers are very happy with pop-ups. As soon as they install it, they should, my advice is any app that you install and you enable it, go back to GT Metrics, rerun the, just before you do anything else, just rerun the GT Metrics. If your score changed, any of the metrics, uninstall it.
Yeah.
You can find a better
one. Yeah. So it's not about just functionality. Not just functionality, but performance as well is important.
Performance is key because remember, your enemy is that 1.7 seconds and GT Metrics report is your enemy, right? And one of the other ones is, Eitan, I'm sure that you have seen this, like every Shopify store enables all the sales channels. Facebook, Google,
The plugins,
Pinterest, yes, TikTok forever. Shop, that, right? What are you doing with Pinterest? Oh, I think we installed it because, you know, no, what are you doing right now? I'm not asking you what you thought you were doing 2 years ago. What are you doing right now? Oh, not really anything. Do you even post on there? No.
Oh.
So why do you have this on? Like, we had a developer that installed it. They thought there would be a marketing agency. Insert the excuse, right? Hmm. Pinterest is one of the apps. Unfortunately, the app for Pinterest sales channel on Shopify is heavy. As soon as you remove it, there's a one letter grade upgrade you get on GT Metrics.
Wow.
One letter grade. So if you were a D, you're going to get a C. If you were a B, you're going to get an A. Pinterest is an amazing social commerce platform. If you know what you're doing, it's worth getting a letter grade, a D grade. It's fine. But you should know why you're doing it. Not just have it on there and not do anything with it, and you're wasting your conversion rates by doing that. As a social commerce platform, Pinterest is phenomenal. Nobody beats, right now, TikTok Shop is getting there, but nothing beats Pinterest from a commerce standpoint. They do a fabulous job. They've been doing it for years, right? So be very intentional when it comes to sales channels and app installation on Shopify. And any kind of a pixel that you add or anything like that, be very smart about why you're adding it, right? And be very intentional about it.
Interesting. So it's a more of an archaeology type of work, right? You need to clean out the mess that you absorb throughout the years, right?
Actually, everything that you have heard from me for the first six dimensions, the first step is elimination. The first step, eliminate, right? Ask the why question. If you don't get a reasonable answer, and it has to be a really good answer, eliminate.
Yes. This is not easy for customers. I'm sure you know that as well.
Right? I mean, I look through it and go like, okay, you don't need any of these things. Get rid of it. And the number one notorious one, I would say, this is not a poo-poo on page builders. If you have a page builder app, like, why did you go with that? Oh, it's very easy to build landing pages. How many landing pages are you creating on a weekly basis? Tell me, give me the number.
Yeah.
Oh, we have not touched that. So the purpose of a page builder, the purpose of it is speed to market, right? Amazing tool. I love, you know, Zipify and Shogun. And there are so many page builder apps that are phenomenal at what they do. You can even do differences between mobile versus desktop and phenomenal, right? Could you have spent only like $300 on a premium theme that does all of those things and pay for it once and that's it and not be on a recurring basis because you're not using the page builder in an effective way, right? If you could eliminate it, get rid of it, right? Yeah. And go with a really nice theme and pay that $1,000 once instead of recurring and also rev share for some of the other page builders. They charge you a rev share also.
Sure.
Right. So let's move on to number seven.
Let's do that.
So you have done a great job of the first six dimensions, right? You got all of that right. But if you don't get dimension number seven right, this is where the negative reviews come in. And that's where a negative sentiment towards your brand comes in. It has to do with logistics, your customer service, how you handle customer service issues.
Yep.
How do you handle order fulfillment? How do you handle supply chain, right? It's not just about getting the orders out. What if you are 2Xing your business? Do you have inventory to keep it going? It's great that you're 2Xing your business. You were a $1 million business. Now you're a $2 million business. Do you have enough inventory? And most brands, they manufacture things overseas.
Yes.
The cheapest way of getting it into United States, for example, takes 4 months on a ship. That's the cheapest way to get it.
Yeah.
But if you want to get it, oh, I can get it the next day. Yeah, you can put it on a plane. Now your cost of product just went up, skyrocketed. Yeah, as a backup, it makes sense, right? But you have to think about all of the logistics, especially if you're selling on Shopify and you're selling on Amazon, where you have this split inventory situation because of FBA, right?
Yeah.
You have to now take care of FBA KPIs also, logistics related to Amazon, making sure that you are ahead of the game there too. Because if you get delisted or deactivated on Amazon, even if you're shut out for like 2 days or a week or 2 weeks, you get deranked. Yeah. And climbing back up is going to take time. All of that effort you put in for the past 3 years, 2 years, 6 months, all you're going to give that back, and then you have to climb back up. That means more Amazon ads, less effective ads, less effective ROAS for you to climb back up. So yeah. Logistics, you have to be really on top of it to really be good at it.
Specifically, when you grow, right? When you grow, you feel that you need more quantity, so you take all the profit, you know, buy more inventory, and take 3-4 months to come in. So it's kind of a really frustrating period, right? These first years of growth until you see actual profit or, let's say, free cash flow that you can claim as a real profit.
When I advise my clients, when it comes to holiday shopping, right, October through December, right? Yeah. Especially during Thanksgiving to Christmas, right? Around that time frame. The number one advice I give them, make sure you have enough inventory, and that decision needs to be made. For some, they need to make that decision in April. Other ones, they need to make that decision, worst case scenario, in July, August.
Yeah.
Because in September, you're testing some of your theories out related to holiday campaigns. October, you're escalating that so that you get really into it. And then in November, you're execute. You cannot run out of inventory during that time. But you have to be intelligent about inventory forecasting and demand forecasting to see, are you going to actually... So we just doubled your business in 12 weeks. During the holiday season, if you met that, you should be able to 10x your growth rate during the holiday season for those 30 days. You should be able to, you know? So are you set up for that level of success, customer service, order fulfillment? Maybe you didn't hire enough people to get those orders out, right? That's a failure.
Yeah.
Now, if the orders come in by 3 p.m., why isn't it leaving the same day? Yeah, but we are backed up with 10,000 orders. Yeah, but you needed to hire people or robotics or whatever you needed to do to get those orders out because you were planning it in marketing and sales. Why didn't you tell your logistics guy, your warehouse, to make sure that they did holiday hiring? So that's why all these dimensions, as you can see, they're connected. They're all connected to each other, right?
Yeah.
When you mess with one and you get success in one, you also affect the other dimension. But if you're not playing the game and the dimensions correctly, this is why one of the reasons, I don't know if you follow the U.S. Market during the holiday season, retailers go like, oh, we had amazing holiday season. You hear that news, right?
Sure.
What happens on January 10th
every year? That was my
bankruptcy
next question.
Bankruptcy filings.
Wow. Yeah.
That's, you went from black to bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Right? This is one of the reasons that because the machine is not tuned properly.
Not true.
Which brings me to the eighth dimension. Eighth dimension has to do with team. And as a founder of a business, let me define what team means. Team means anyone that touches your business. Remember you said that, oh, I can get great guys on Fiverr to do XYZ for me, right? That's part of your team. You got a guy on LinkedIn that freelances for you. That's part of your team.
Yes.
Your mom packs the orders every weekend because nobody else helps you. Your mom is part of the team, right? The UPS guy, the freight guy that comes in, brings the inventory in, the freight people, shipping companies, carriers that take your product and deliver it, that's part of your team. You, as the owner of the company, it's your responsibility. All of those team members need to be communicating. You cannot blame point A to point B if there's a failure in communication. It's your fault as the owner.
Yeah.
Right? Sure. You own this. when you own that, it's like, Eitan, you said you have five kids. You cannot blame somebody else for if your kid does something. Ultimately, it's your fault, right? Because sure. You're raising them. You gave birth to them, right? It's your responsibility, right? The same applies to the team. Especially in case of e-commerce, unfortunately, when the team does not communicate and collaborate, what happens is fraud. Credit card fraud is the number one reason. And the number one reason for credit card fraud in e-commerce is lack of communication between teams. When people don't talk to each other, like customer service doesn't talk to the warehouse, you don't have a blacklist of people who are fraudulent, you're not taking those orders out and putting it on the side until you evaluate, is it fraud or is it not fraud, right? All those things are connected with that. And that means that even though your marketing was great and the marketing person went like, oh my God, I'm a genius, right? Marketing dimension. But the thing is, logistics didn't follow through because the marketing person hates to talk to the logistics guy. As an owner, you need to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Yes, right? Of course.
And you have to optimize, and it has to go beyond a Slack channel that you have for your company, right? Or whatever tool you use for collaboration or email.
Yeah.
You, as an owner, you should bring everybody together every Monday morning to say, this is what we are doing this week. And it's your responsibility to make sure that that happens.
Yeah. So in your process, brands can implement the 8D model with your guidance, of course, in 12 weeks, right?
In 12 weeks. It's hard work.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you know what's funny, Eitan, that after the 2-3 week period, and then once they get into the groove of this, they start seeing a smile on their face. Whenever I see them on Zoom, I see all smiles after 2-3 weeks because they're seeing results, right? And then in week 4, typically the report I get on when I go like, hey, how was everybody's weekend? But like, you know what? We are growing tremendously. We have never grown like this before, but it doesn't feel stressful because the thing is you're not tactic hopping. You're not constantly doing different tactics. Foundationally, you have improved your business. So whether you take a week off and go on a vacation, your business is going to hum along still, right? And you don't feel the stress of these like constant bad decisions that you have to make and fail from it.
Yes.
You know? And instead, you have a really robust business that works really well.
Amazing, Sabir. It's been a fascinating episode, definitely. What else? What else you want to deliver? Anything else?
So what I would recommend before you jump into the Rapid 2X Accelerator program, I would highly recommend, I do this free live workshop. Definitely go to growthbysabir.com/workshop and definitely apply to be part of the workshop so that, you know, when I'm going through this, I do poll my audience to see what business they're in. And during the live workshop, I actually use them as examples also, right? So it can be a very interactive workshop. So I would encourage them to join that so that they can go into more detail about the case studies and definitely check out the case studies on growthbysabir.com. My team has done a great job of putting up videos and stuff like that from clients. And from there, they could also get invited once they do the workshop. They get invited to be part of my community. I have a mastermind community. Currently, it's free to join. So if they're listening to this, they should go to growthbysabir.com/community or they can go to my website and there's a call to action there to join the community. Currently, it's free on March 27, 2024, right? But my team is going to put up a paywall at $97 per month very soon because we have gotten enough free members in there and then we will put up a paywall and then anyone else that comes into the community, we will be charging them about $97 per month.
Great. And we will share all these links in the show notes as well. So, Sabir, this is probably a nice point in our episode for you to share some fun facts about yourself.
Fun facts.
Most of your professional network are not aware of, right?
So, I have worked with celebrities, quite a lot of celebrities, right? And the only people that would know this fun fact is two or three people who were with me when I was doing this Zoom call with this celebrity, right? And what happened was the celebrity came to us to help him launch his one-of-a-kind, the very first fashion earbuds, right? Earbuds, it was as a fashion statement. Because right now you can buy earbuds, they're just functional. Mm-hmm. But he wanted to do it like a fashion statement, right? And the celebrity that the team that I was working with, and he showed up to the Zoom call to make sure that, you know, to get to know us and stuff like that, and to understand that, you know, the team and everything else, was Will.i.am from Black Eyed Peas.
Yes.
Right? So he showed up, and something happened during that Zoom meeting when I was talking to him and to his team, that my mouth froze like this. But what happened was I was not, you know, doing that because Will.i.am showed up, because I've worked with a lot of celebrities in my past, right? That happened because we had an internet issue and the video froze.
Okay.
And they were cracking up. And when we came back, he goes like, Will.i.am says to me, you know, we took a screenshot of your face and I saw it. It was like that. Like, were you surprised to see me?
Yeah.
I said, no, my face does that whenever it sees Will.i.am.
Yeah.
That's what I told him.
Nice. I know you've been working with really, you know, top also, you know, marketing experts, right? So obviously work with Gary Vee and
former co-founder. Vayner Commerce. Yeah.
Wow.
And the Sharks on Shark Tank. That's a US-based show.
Yes.
Also.
Yes. Advisor, right?
Yep.
Shark Tank.
Oh, if you're into wrestling, Hulk Hogan and Nick Aldis.
Wow. Great. Sabir, thank you so much for all the great insights and value. It's really shown. I mean, you've been doing this for so long and so passionate about it, developing AD models. And thank you so much for sharing that. Really appreciate your time.
Eitan, thank you for having me. I hope your audience gets a lot of value, and more importantly, they actually take it and implement it and join us in the workshop, so, you know, we can take the next steps from there and help them really 2x their business.
Amazing. Thank you, Sabir. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on this episode. Your support means the world to us. If today's episode has been insightful for you, consider sharing it with someone who would also benefit. Even one share can make a big difference. Looking to elevate your e-commerce game? Discover Vimi, a multi-channel e-commerce platform that will transform your business with the power of shoppable video. Visit us at vimi.net to learn more. It's Vimi, V-I-M-M-I.net. Thank you for being part of our journey. Stay tuned for more invaluable insights in our next episode.